I want to invite you to take your Bible and to turn it into the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark as we look together for just a few moments at today's passage, which is found in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Next Sunday, I'm going to preach from the same text. It's a very short text, but it has a lot to say to us. And today, on purpose, we will stop with just the first portion of verse 15, which has the reference to time. And I want to talk about time as one of the words of Easter. The series of messages that I'll begin today, that will take us through the Sunday after Easter, is all about digging deep into some of the words that we find in the gospel narratives that remind us or move us toward a deeper understanding of the purpose of why Christ came and what Christ's death accomplished for you and me. And so as we look at today's text, again, as I said about a week or so ago, I've said many times to you that it's so important for us to get image of the full context so that we can understand what the little verse that we're looking at, or in this case, the little word that we're looking at today, would say to us. So the context is very simple. In Mark's gospel, as you know, Mark writes with a sense of urgency. It is a quick recount of the life of Christ. 16 chapters, relatively short. You could almost sit down and read the Gospel of Mark in one sitting. You could certainly read it in the course of a week or two, reading just a chapter a day. It would not be difficult for you to get a full view, if you will, of the life and the ministry, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, with the way Mark tells the story in such a hurry. And so, and we see this illustrated in the very first chapter. John the Baptist prepares the way. Jesus goes to John, is baptized. The Spirit of God descends on Jesus in such a way that it gives authenticity to who he is. And then after this, the Spirit drops Jesus into the wilderness for a time of temptation. Mark doesn't go into a lot of detail. He just hits that highlight, if you will, gives us the chronology of those experiences in the life of Jesus up to this point. And then as Jesus begins his public ministry, verse 14 says, after John was arrested. So there's a chronological line that is drawn there. Chronologically is a very important thing for us to kind of get our hands around as we put the story together. Later in Mark's gospel, he's going to tell us more about why John was arrested. But here, he simply gives us the chronology so that he can then talk about something deeper, something different about time. Anyone here familiar with the experience? Maybe you're a parent and you remember trying to stir children up in the morning. And so you would holler to them and you would say, "It's 7 o'clock. It's time to get up." That's chronology. When you go back about 20 minutes later because they haven't stirred, you yell to them this time and you say, "It's time to get up." That's no longer chronology. That's kairos. Chronos and kairos are the two different Greek words that we read in the New Testament. They're always translated time. Chronos means sort of that linear idea, and you and I live lives that are dominated by chronos. I have on my smartphone, and you have on your smartphone, appointments for this week because chronos dominates our life. I have reminders set so that I don't forget an important Chronos event in my life. And what Mark is introducing to you and to me in this text, when he talks about time, is not Chronos, but Kairos. There's something urgent. There's something opportune. There's something almost emergent feeling when Mark uses this word. Verse 15 simply says, and saying, the time, the Kairos, is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. A couple of observations that I would share with you as we begin this time together this morning. The first might be to borrow the wisdom from Warren Wiersbe, a Bible teacher, pastor, scholar, a personal friend. Dr. Wiersbe would write and say that the gospel is neither a discussion nor a debate. It's an announcement. And so Mark is making this announcement. Mark is helping us understand that when Jesus comes on the scene, he says the time is fulfilled. Here, he's not talking about the chronology, although we can look back and certainly map it out with these events that are unfolding in the first chapter. He's talking about something opportune, urgent, important, deeper than just the chronology, just the linear. And so an observation that I would suggest for each of us is that in a life that is dominated by the chronos, you and I need to learn to give attention to the kairos. Pastor, what do you mean? Well, let me try to explain this. So, anybody here ever been through a difficult season in life? Can I get a witness? Yeah. And we take some courage when the scripture says, and it came to pass, it didn't come to stay. Because sometimes the seasons in life are those Kairos moments that are painful, they're hard to go through. You wouldn't wish them on most people. Yesterday we celebrated Dina Proctor's life, member of this choir. And in her autobiography that she wrote, a two-page autobiography that I read at her graveside yesterday, she said, was a member of the adult choir and a member of First Baptist Church, and I enjoyed most of the people. So most is important. We can all understand that. We wouldn't wish bad times on most people. But we go through them, don't we? We go through the ringer. Painful and it hurts. And we can either, in those moments of Kairos, cry out to God, would you please do something Chronos, get me out of this quickly. Or we can find ourselves recognizing the privilege of those moments which drive us to our knees long neglected to try to find out exactly what it is God is wanting to do in our lives through us. I know this. Many of you know my pain. As your pastor, I know many of the points of pain is seasons that are most painful, God can be trusted to do His work in our lives in that season, and those kairos moments become precious.
Amen.
Churches go through kairos moments. I really think we had one last Sunday as we stood around and held hands around a building and simply sang, "Jesus loves me." It is reported to me that tourists who were walking down the sidewalk last Sunday paused when we were singing around the East Building that is going to be demolished soon, and they joined in singing with us. You don't know what they were going through. I don't know what they were going through. I don't know where they're from. Don't know where they're going. But they paused long enough to have a kairos moment with us. Jesus says, the time is fulfilled. The kairos moment. Now, certainly there was some chronology behind that, because everything that God has done, here's the second observation, don't miss it, or maybe it's the third, I don't know, don't forget this observation, is that our God is the God of both the chronos and the kairos. Jesus is the Lord of both. And God uses both, doesn't He? How does our Bible begin? What are the first words? In the beginning. So before time ever was, God was. And in the beginning, when time started, when chronology started, God already had a purpose, didn't He? So God, who is the God of creation, time begins, is the God who, when there was a fall, was there to redeem and rescue. He did for Adam and Eve what they could not do for themselves, and their efforts to try to cover their shame and their nakedness with leaves. God provides a sacrifice that was more sufficient. It was a prefigure. It was an image, if you will, of what you and I will go through throughout our life when we try to cover our own shame and our shortfallings, and we can't do it. There's no way we can do it adequately, but God, because of the sacrifice of His Son, has perfectly provided for you and me. And so this God of redemption history, this God who Scripture says, at just the right time, Christ died for us. What a great passage. And this idea that in the fullness of time, when the prophets had spoken, when everything was pointing to a Messiah coming, John, who was the last of the prophets, the greatest of the prophets, Jesus would say, when John's ministry is silenced because he is thrown in Herod's prison, later to be beheaded, the time was fulfilled. Everything chronologically, I can make that word, was ready. But everything with kairos time was also ready. And Jesus was there to make it known to us that God loved us, and that God had a special plan, and that forgiveness would be found in no other name but in the name of Jesus Christ. And this fullness of time, this begins to unfold for us, and we're reminded about this. Let me talk for just a moment about time and eternity. Your soul was made for eternity. You and I, as living human beings, have a soul that God has uniquely created within each of us, and that soul is designed for eternity. You and I will spend an eternity, if we know Christ as our Savior, in heaven. And if we don't know Christ as our Savior, if we reject or if we put that decision off, then the eternity for us becomes one that is very different from an eternity in heaven. We will, based on what God's Word teaches, spend an eternity separated from God in a place called hell. When we think about our soul being made for eternity, here's something very important about the realization of time. Today, you and I have time to prepare for eternity. We either say yes to Jesus Christ while we have time, or we reject and rebel against Jesus Christ and the message of salvation, the offer of forgiveness. And by rebelling about that or against that or putting it off for a more opportune time, as Felix did near the end of the book of Acts, we run the risk of never coming to that point of trusting Christ and experiencing the forgiveness of sin and the new birth and the glorious promise and the hope of heaven. Here's the third thing about time and eternity. Death is the gate for eternity. And it is, according to the book of Hebrews, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, judgment. So there is coming a time for each one of us. God knows what that time is. I believe when Job would declare that God has numbered our days, it's a good reminder to us that God knows when we came into this world, and God knows what the end for each of us is going to be. I can't explain that in every to a way that makes everybody satisfied, but I can certainly say to you that the scriptures point to reality that God is a God who knows every single day, every time, every moment for you and me. And so there's coming a day when death will be real for us. What does that mean? It means that while we have time, we make our decision for Christ because eternity is coming. The reality is, fourth, that there is no time in eternity to make that decision for Christ if you have not made it now. Time is urgent. Those kairos moments, those opportunities, those experiences that are there, sometimes they last a season and they're painful and they're difficult. Sometimes they're great joyful seasons of growth and a sense of God's hand being upon us and a clear sense of God's direction and God's mission and God's blessing. Sometimes we have those moments, don't we? But in all of the moments, He is Lord of your Chronos. He is Lord of your Kairos. Just a moment, we're going to be coming to the end of this time of worship. But we're at the beginning, if you will, of a time for us to say, God, what is it you want me to do? What do I do next? What do I do now? What do I do in the Chronos of my life so that I can also have the Kairos of life? My friend, it starts with trusting Christ as your Savior. You've never done that. And the Holy Spirit awakens your heart, begins to stir within you and reminds you of the truth of the gospel. And when you begin to hear it and understand it, then the choice becomes yours. What will you do with this man, Jesus? Will you make him Lord of your life? Will you surrender? Will you ask for forgiveness? Will you commit your life to following him? To every believer who's in this room, the kairos moments of their life are, God, how do I study? How do I grow? How do I, how do I make my witness and my testimony for Christ more strong? God, how do I take the pain of my experience and see it being used in such a way that brings honor and glory to you? God, how can you take my Kairos moments? God, so I put them in your hands. I trust you to stretch and to grow and to multiply and to accomplish what only you can, so that the image of Christ can be more clearly seen. Members, Christians, followers of Christ, the invitation to a Kairos moment is to say, God, what next? Hey, God, what more? God, I surrender to it gladly. Hey, God, I want more of this. And God, I want more of you. Just a moment, we're going to sing the invitation again. As we stand and sing, this is the time in our church tradition where we invite you, if there's a commitment to your that you sense God is calling you to make, to strengthen your faith, to unite with this church, to make this your church home, to rededicate your life to Christ. Now is the time. Now is the Kairos moment for you today. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, people that have been praying that the chronos of your life would bring you to this moment where you would hear the gospel and you would respond, trusting Jesus as your Savior. Let's take our hymnal, let's stand, and let's sing together. And if there's a commitment that God has laid on your heart, would you come this morning? Would you share that with your hearing this morning?